All right, let's go. You're on with J&J to start your Friday. Yes, sir, we made it on 92.9 FM ESPN. Stacking days. That's what we like to say around here, and we love when we've stacked them up and gotten to Friday. Football is all around us. Can you feel it? Maybe you were out there last night. Maybe you were out at a game. Maybe you saw a high school football running back or high-profile quarterback last night that blew your mind, because we had plenty of unbelievable performances both locally and, my gosh, did you see the kid that's going to Tennessee? He plays for Chattanooga Baylor. He's a five-star, number one running back in the country, they tell me. Plays for Chattanooga Baylor. This young man was running, I should say this grown young man was running over people. Helmet on, helmet off. You couldn't stop him. Guys, he's headed to Tennessee. And some have predicted that he will bring back the glory days, Tennessee football, if he gets there.
They've had some good ones. They've had some good ones in Tennessee history, right, in that Tennessee running back lineage. They have certainly had some good ones. And David Gabriel Georges looks like he could be the next in line.
Saw him on SportsCenter top 10. This morning, and that's why I bring him up.
Yeah,
number one running back in the country.
Yes,
resides here in Tennessee.
Yeah, he was on ESPN last night. Baylor School versus Brentwood Academy, and I'm assuming that Baylor School waxed him.
Yes. Now that school also has Peyton's son. No,
Marshall.
Isn't that what you sent me?
Marshall Manning. Although I think he's a backup.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a mop up right now. So he did make his debut last night. Baylor School won 38-20 to open up the 2026 season. and he got in there, you know, and made his debut late in that game. But we'll see how that goes. He's a true freshman. He's a backup quarterback. Actually ended up playing the first half. Had an 8-yard pass, and we'll see. Well, you know, we know the Mannings are patient with their prospects.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. There's one that's ready to play in the NFL right now, it looks like, in this young man. Georges!
Yes.
Also had some local football here.
Last night?
Yes. As Briarcrest whooped up on my son's favorite team, ECS.
Mm.
Whooped up on him. Caden Dixon, 3-star out there, Briarcrest quarterback. He ran over that. Now, ECS playing up there. That's them playing up against Briarcrest in a higher private school division. They're playing up. It got smashed up. You know, I bring it up because you know who the ECS coach is? What his name is? Ben Johnson.
But not
Chris,
that Ben Johnson.
Chris couldn't help him last night.
Also,
that's high school football.
Christian Brothers whooped up on Fayette Ware.
Yes. They've got a young quarterback.
Yes.
A stud.
That's what I hear. I was,
Brick.
I'm not as familiar with the high school football.
We're going to get you caught up this year. Maybe we'll make that our mission. Remember last year I was going out to Millington to see the 100th year of Millington football. I saw Millington fairly. I believe they go tonight. I believe those two play again tonight to open their season. You got high school football all over town.
Yeah.
And what it is, it also lets you know, too, that what are we, week out from college football, opening up week zero.
Yes.
So, football is all around us. John's quarterback's throwing pick sixes. You still came back and won the game.
We came back and won, thanks to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I saw it.
We're freezing our eggs. We're leading fourth quarter comebacks. I mean, what can't AOC do? I mean, it really is amazing.
Yes.
It was a comeback for the ages. You know, we're not going to focus on the fact that Fernando Mendoza threw a pick six against the Texans backups.
Well, you shouldn't have said anything about Caleb throwing that pick.
That's true.
And our joint practice. You brought that up yesterday during the show, and you see what your man did. Take care of your own house.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay?
Indeed. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. Didn't C.J. Stroud throw a pick six in his first preseason?
Like, who in the heck's going to remember that? First preseason game for C.J. Like, Brad and I are C.J. Stroud fans, fanatics to that point. I'm going to guess that maybe he did.
I feel like somebody threw an interception in there. One of those quarterbacks threw an interception in the
You're going to be fine.
First preseason.
Yeah, you don't have to go try to find a quarterback that's overcome, you know. A pick six early on or a high draft pick, he's going to be fine. I saw Max Crosby lifting him up right after.
Yeah.
So I know he's going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Teammates rallied around him. You guys come back and get the win.
Yeah. So we gotta clean that up, obviously, for you know, for our man Fernando Mendoza. Though there is some talk, which we'll get to in just a minute, that you know, maybe the plan is not what people thought the plan was. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Sammy P is going to join us at 10 a.m. We'll talk to him about the NFL. Not a lot of action this weekend for the Bears. No starters. No Tyson Bagent. Not a lot of interesting stuff coming on the horizon for the Bears this weekend. But the season starts soon enough, and so it will get hot and heavy for the Bears. So we'll talk to him about that, and also we'll, as we always do, go around the NFL.
Yes.
So we'll do that with him at 10 a.m. And then at 11:25, like always, Anthony Sain is going to join us, and we'll catch up with him about the Grizzlies, NBA, big trade, yeah, obviously, yesterday with Peyton Watson. So we'll get his thoughts on that and more. So Anthony Sain from the Anthony Sain Show at 11:25. Of course, we're on 99 FM ESPN, 680 AM. We're on X. We're on YouTube, I think, or Twitch. I think we're everywhere. You want to look at us while we talk? You can do that. You want to listen to us? You can do that. We prefer you listen to us, but your prerogative. So anyway, that is the show today. So this quarterback at Christian Brothers, that's what I'm interested in. Obviously, you mentioned the running back who's going to Tennessee, David Gabriel Georges, and he is fantastic. Had over 200 yards yesterday, and you know, I guess the question is, will he remain a Tennessee commit? And he killed it. But I was driving in and I was listening. I'll be totally honest to Greg and Eli, and they were talking about this quarterback at Christian Brothers that I'm totally unfamiliar with, and Eli was talking about how he's going to break all kinds of passing records. I don't know. I'm totally unindoctrinated and uninitiated to this young man at Christian Brothers, but is it possible that we have a great quarterback coming down the pipeline here in Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, we got great ones that are ineligible right now. Thomas Hefner's one that have got offers from all over. When you say great, I mean, are we saying SEC?
Yeah.
What are we saying in terms of ranking there? But I believe the young man's name is Nate Brick.
Nate Brick.
Yes.
He's a sophomore at Christian Brothers.
Who is the younger brother of the Will Brick, who just got drafted, if I'm not mistaken, in the Major League Baseball draft. So you've got a family of arms right there. And yes, I'm not sure exactly what Eli said, but yes, I think people have pinned big hopes on young Brick, who is starting for Christian Brothers. You don't typically see guys as young as him starting over there. Now, I didn't watch the game.
Yeah, of course.
Have not read any previews on them, so you're asking the wrong man. But I am aware of his coming.
Yeah,
as they put it.
Yeah. So he's a sophomore this year. He's 6'4". Last night he threw 4 touchdowns. In a 56-6 win over Fayette Ware, including a 75-yarder and a 56-yarder, and he only played in the first half. So, I mean, 4 touchdowns in the first half. I would say that meets the threshold of potentially great. You know, again, you're talking about a 6'4 kid, so he's got the size. Seems like he's got the arm with a 75-yarder there and a 56-yarder and only playing in the first half. I mean, this kid might be a phenom, man. This kid might be a phenom there at Christian Brothers. But we'll know the answer. We'll know the answer next week when they host White Station at their stadium. That will be the true test for Nate Brick. But yeah, I mean, we'll see where it goes for him. And again, I haven't actually seen him play, but it sounds extremely promising for him. You know, you're throwing four touchdowns and a half. I don't care who you are. That's pretty damn good in Memphis, Tennessee. So we'll see where it goes, but he might be on my list. He might have to be a guy I get out and check out this season in the local area. So we'll see what kind of offers he gets. Seems like SEC is a definite. I mean, if you got that kind of size, I'd be surprised if you don't at least get some offers here. So
Barless was texting, said he could well end up being the best pure passing quarterback ever from Memphis. So there's your answer.
Wow.
From a man who would know, John. Wow. Barless. Appreciate you listening and answering that question, Jake.
I mean, that's amazing.
There you go.
I mean, now, I don't know how many we
should get out and see him.
Necessarily had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have like a super long list of pure passers from that have come through here. I mean, I know we've. I mean, if we put our heads together, we could probably come up with some. But it's not really never. It's really never been an area that produces the pure passer. I mean, we produce the athlete. We produce the running back. You know, we produce a lot of things, but mm-hmm. we don't really produce the quarterback. So that you know, he's in rare company, you know, all on his own. Although we did have who is my guy? Brock Glenn? Brock Glenn was at Lausanne. You know, he we thought that would end up being something. And I don't even know where he is now. I know he's at Florida State, but obviously,
who knows? Transferred out, I believe. I think he dropped down a little bit.
He's at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, still D1.
Oh, he's one of the best to ever come through Memphis. I think that's fair to say.
He spent three seasons at Florida State, so I mean he gave it a shot.
On a field on a major game several times. You know, it's high level football.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would say like he's probably in that list. And again, I'm not the
Kenton Evans for Westwood. Kenton got Evans? all the records.
Let's go.
You're talking about going back, and I don't. Kenton Evans, did Kenton Evans play any at all at Memphis? Did he end up coming back home? I'm not for certain on that, but I just remember him having all the high school records. You're talking about a guy that could air it out, but you got to go back because, like you've said, you've had a lot of dual threat guys. Like Barry Bonetti was a great quarterback at MUS, He wasn't a pure thrower. He was a tough quarterback, could make throws, could make the runs, could beat big teams like he did with Sal Pinola. Hefner, Thomas's dad.
TJ Jenkins is at Samford right now. And they're in a quarterback battle.
TJ Jenkins.
I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, I'm friends with his dad, Tremaine. Yeah, they're a great family.
Now, are you putting him in a category he probably shouldn't be in as one of the best out of Memphis?
We get to see. He's undersized. He's only like 5'7", 5'8", but he's a baller. Yeah. That's why, Samford, he had other offers. But
yeah, you know, we're talking about the best to ever do it now.
I get it.
We're talking about the best.
I'm just talking about the ones that I saw that were big during my time.
Right.
Up.
I'm thinking
Evans
D1.
I didn't cover Evans, but
Will Gross from Melrose back in the day.
Gross put up some numbers.
No, he never played at the D1. Like, he committed to Memphis.
How was Will Hudgens in high school?
Hudgens was tough as they came and also pitched as well, high school baseball as well. But, you know, Hudgens could throw it a country mile, played for Ridgeway, big, tough quarterback. End up playing at Memphis.
Yeah. Well, the point is that our man Nate Brick could be easily the best. I mean, he's got the runway to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's throwing four touchdowns and a half as a sophomore, and again, no, it's Fayette Ware.
Right. That should be considered here.
You know, it's not MUS. It's not. I mean, I don't even know who the powers
are. Sounds like they're going to rough us up. White Station, and then we'll see what they do against some of the better.
Yeah, we're probably.
I heard Jeffrey Wright saying MUS has lost all their guys. They got transferred out in terms of, and that's unusual to hear because back in my day, MUS was pulling guys in. And so now just with the world the way it is, there's some former Houston player. I heard John Varlis talking about that, a former Houston player that's out at that Chattanooga Baylor team. They're recruiting, you know, out that way. So, you know, the opportunities now at these private schools and where they'll pull from old private schools that used to, you know, be the powerhouses, it's flipped in terms of the – some of these teams and programs' ability to get the best player.
Well, I love it. I'm excited to follow his career. I'm excited to see where he winds up and
Well, maybe you'll go the over on yesterday's over-under number on high school football games that you might have.
Yesterday
it seemed like I was having to wave the flag there. Now you have a reason.
I think it's, I got three. Well, maybe I have 3 years. Who knows? He might transfer to, a Nashville school or something like that. Although at Christian Brothers, I'm hoping we can keep him for 3 years because we have – resources and facilities, and I think we can do some NIL, so hopefully we can hold on to them at Christian Brothers in the Memphis area.
I'm focused on the 32 class. That would be Gabriel Sane, and obviously on the basketball side, it's going to be Christopher Smith. So a lot of my focus on those later classes in 32.
No, I understand for sure. But
we'll be coming here very soon, actually, when you're talking about a sophomore now.
Yeah.
And Brick here.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that, 29?
Yeah. So
there we go.
Nate Brick, man, great debut for him for a Christian Brothers win, 56-6, four touchdowns in a half. All right, last night in the NFL, as we're working our way up the levels here, Fernando Mendoza got his first NFL start, quote unquote, and he threw a pick six. What was it, first drive of the game? He was looking for his running back, Mike, not George Washington. And the backup Texans linebacker, what was my guy's name? Woodaz, I think was his name. Woodaz stepped in front of it and took it to the house. Max Crosby, who is supposed to be a Baltimore Raven right now, but failed his physical and is not.
He's more Raider than ever, I would say.
He's the most Raider guy ever.
He's been asked about it 1,000 times. He's had to double and triple down on where his heart is.
That's right. So Max Crosby comes over and, you know, picks him up and daps him on the helmet and Mendoza was okay after that, but you know, did not throw a touchdown in this one, and the Raiders trailed 20-3 at the half. But then it was all Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Aiden O'Connell comes in, 15-24, 166, walk-off win for the Raiders in Houston. Just a devastating night if you're a Houston Texans fan having that happen. My big take from the game is the Raiders will be floor, or I should say ceiling, top five. They could be number one again. They could be picking at number one again because the roster and specifically the defense is so bad that they're just not going to win games. They might win four. They might win five just because it seems like every team wins four or five. They're going to be in that mix for one pick overall once again. Whether it's Kirk Cousins, whether it's Fernando Mendoza, that's going to be the case. And it was interesting after the game, Clint Kubiak, the head coach, was noncommittal.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's one of the takes there. Saw ESPN wrote about it.
Yeah, he was not.
What do you mean though? What do you mean it's not? That's it. There's still a race that's still going on. You still got another week. No, it's obvious that Mendoza doesn't have any business starting right now, and the race should be over. Just name Kirk Cousins the starter. What's the point here?
Yeah.
What are we scared to offend Mendoza at this point? Do we want to just sort of pay him his respects as and sort of say this has been a competition and really give him the credit for running through the tape here in the competition? It's clear he's not ready.
Right.
You have a ton invested in him. More importantly, the team's not ready around him. Agreed. Like we talked about beforehand. And this is why you brought Kirk Cousins in. So what are we, you know, what are we acting here for? Now maybe
I don't know.
You know. We're not talking about before here, the first week of the regular season. So maybe a little gamesmanship because you want to keep your opponent pretending here. You're still in the preseason. Shut it down. You know, take the pressure off the kid. I feel like he's feeling a little bit of pressure. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Should he be?
I mean, no, but
exactly.
You
not
know,
right now,
big stage and standalone game. So, I mean, he looked great in the first game of the preseason when it was kind of like, you know, on against the Cards, second and third string, and Kirk had already given him a score. Didn't look so good in this one. And you know what? That's part of it. Rookie struggle. Every rookie quarterback has struggled. It's just par for the course. But, yeah, I mean, everybody knew what the plan was coming into this. The offensive line stinks. The receiving core stinks. There's really no reason to potentially spoil this kid by throwing him out there in week one. I mean, to me, it's just that simple. You know, you can be patient. You can let Kirk go out there. And, I mean, Kirk led a touchdown drive. I mean, He came out there 5 or 6, boom, wham, bam. Thank you, man. This is so. If you're trying to, you know, compete and let the kid learn, you know, do it the right way, you let Kirk start, and then you can reassess in 4 weeks, reassess in 6 weeks, whatever. There's no, you're not expecting to compete or contend, so you can just kind of let it play out the way it plays out and go from there. I think it's just a first year coach playing a little gamesmanship. That's all I could chalk it up as. I don't think there's any way Mendoza actually starts.
Yeah, the Bears really could have messed Caleb Williams up if they had kept on with the Matt Eberflus plan.
Yeah.
You started him every game, and Johnny got sacked, 68 times? I sent you the number the other day. That came down to 24. That's not the point here. You were getting him killed on a team that had a bad offensive line. And frankly, you had pushback from him at that. Remember at the interim coach that came in? Like it was going really bad is the point. You can put a good quarterback in a bad situation, and things get really ugly. And it did there for a time. Now, the Bears were smart, and frankly, you didn't have to be that smart because you had Ben Johnson coming down the pike at the right time.
Yep.
Right? But they got off of Eberflus and got the right guy in there, and so you come out of it. But my point is you could put Mendoza in a bad situation, get him beat up, get his head in a way that it doesn't need to be in terms of trying to force him out there in just a place in a spot that he doesn't need to be when you've got the perfect answer, the guy that you brought in right now to be the sacrificial lamb, and a guy really to show him how a pro does it. And how he does it calmly. And so the situation set up perfectly for him. I don't know why we have to do the competition salad here when the writing's on the wall.
Yep.
Let the young man, you know, let some of the pressure off of him, take him out of the steam cooker and let him grow a little bit under Kirk and hand it off at the right time.
Yep.
Because you really could screw him up if it's a bad situation. I'm not saying you got the wrong coach or anything. It could be the right coach and you've got the right sort of transition quarterback to get it over there to him.
Yep.
Just don't screw it up.
Yep.
Just don't screw it up. And I don't think he will. Just don't think you need to go on this long if you're Kubiak.
Yeah,
put on the act.
Mendoza made, you know, he had that pick six. He also had a really nice throw where he stood in the pocket and hit Naylor over the middle and kind of threaded the needle. So he did some good things as well. The pick six will get the headline, and it should, because it was a bad throw and a bad decision. But you know, I think what you like is that he clearly processes well. He's a thinker. He knows what to do.
He is a thinker.
He knows what to
he's
do
super cerebral
on the football field. So you know, the physical piece was always going to be the question with him, and I think that can be learned. That can be caught. That can be coached. If you can't think and you can't process on the field, a la Justin Fields, that can't be taught. Like, you either have that or you don't. And, I mean, Fields' athletic ability keeps him in the league. You know, he's a backup with the Chiefs. But he'll never be a starter full-time again in the league because he can't process. And he can't make quick decisions.
Well, he can't take anything off his fastball either. I mean, it's the only thing
yes.
he throws. Your five-yard pass is going to be a bullet, too.
Yes.
That's the other thing about him.
But Mendoza can definitely do that. He can make reads. He can go through his reads. He can stand in the pocket. You know, hit guys. Like that part, piece of it is already there. And so the rest of it's just acclimating to an NFL pocket and an NFL speed. And that can only come with time. But there's no rush. There's no rush for them. And then in the other preseason game, I mean, literally Justin Herbert was out there for three plays. They went three and out, and that was it. I mean, I don't understand what the point of that was for the Chargers. I mean, at least get a little, like, good stuff going before you sit them. But, you know, they didn't feel that way. So they sat him after three plays. Purdy played, I think, five or six plays, and that was it for them. But, you know, the 49ers laid it on him, 41-17. There would be no revenge on his former team from Trey Lance last night.
If Dante Moore had stayed in the draft, would you still feel like you have the right guy? Just making sure. My guess is Mendoza would have still been mocked one. I'm just guessing. But
yeah.
Would you still feel like you have the right guy?
You know, I don't know. I never really loved Dante Moore. Yeah. You know, I mean, both those guys had their flaws.
Yeah.
Mendoza's
over 70%, bro, from
yeah.
completion rate. He won a national championship. I'm not trying
yeah.
to get you to go back and rethink it. I'm just curious about where you are, Mendoza, now, and if Dante had been there. He's the only guy that would have challenged
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
would have gone number two. Let's be real.
And easily.
And so I'm just curious. You'd have had your choice there. And if you at this point with what you've seen, if you're still fine.
I mean, Dante yeah. Moore was awesome. I mean, 72% completion, 30 touchdowns, 3,500 yards. I mean, he was very, very
good. He may go
good.
Number one.
He very
year.
Well could.
You know, it might not be Arch.
But I think for what we are,
mm-hmm.
I think Mendoza was the right choice.
Okay.
For what we are and what we need. Could be wrong on that. And we'll see, right? Well, the next, you know, even though they're not in the same draft class, they'll still be measured against each other.
No.
You know, because
yeah.
they basically came out at the same time. So, yeah, big year for. I mean, I'd like to see Dante Moore win, you know, and compete for. I mean, he's number two in the country. I'd like to see him do that, right? Go
a lot
out
of
there
folks
and,
think Oregon's going to win it this year.
Yeah, go out there and do that. But I think for where we are, he's the right guy. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if he has the mentality. So, anyway, that was NFL preseason last night. We are officially 8 days away from Memphis UNLV. By the time we come in here on Monday, every day we will take a look at different position groups. I mean, we will really be breaking this thing down. And I'm talking about for the UNLV side. I'm not talking about for the Memphis side. Well, I mean, we will be breaking this thing down. Linebackers, defensive linemen, special teams.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you keep an eye on those running backs. You know.
Yeah, we actually set aside a day. Like Monday will be special teams. Tuesday will be linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, you know, running backs.
Charles, I've got you ready to do your part as media.
That's right.
Break down each position group.
Suffer well. You know,
is it really suffering? We get a chance to talk about football. It's here now.
Yeah.
It's not suffering for us. Suffering was June and July.
Yeah.
When you don't have it.
Suffer well is one of those phrases that I don't really understand, but is said a lot. Like, what does that – does that mean? Does that mean, like, your suffering is not in vain? That means, like, if you do suffer, it is for a reason?
Yeah, well, we all suffer at points in our life.
Right.
Right? So you may as well do it well.
Okay, so if I suffer well, what does that mean? Like,
there's a payoff for you.
I'm in the fetal position, and I'm suffering.
I have no – it's case by case.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, what you're suffering through.
I think I get it. I think the more I think about it, it's more like, you know, if you are going to go through adversity, you know, you might as well look to take something out of it.
It's the only time we grow, John.
And learn from it. Right? Like mm-hmm. if when Memphis starts 0-1, that will be suffering well.
I don't know why all of a sudden you're a rebel. I got two of y'all in here these days. Paint the whole damn room red with these two.
I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous.
You've been nervous ever since they announced the game.
I am.
And Brad's slick in there cheering. He's been saying ever since he said Dan Mullen don't need Memphis. Remember, some of us, our eyes got big when we thought we could pull Dan Mullen. Brad told us that's a lateral move at best. He ain't going nowhere. And ever since, he's been on his high horse.
Yeah.
I can sense it in there out of that glass box.
Yep.
I cannot wait to come after you in 8 days. It's going to get real.
Tim Brando on the call.
We're going to find out who the real Power Four prospect in terms of coach, the best one is. Is it Dan Mullen or is it Charles Huff?
Very true. I mean, there's a lot on the line.
Who were they talking about, John, at SEC Media Days? Who'd Feinbaum tell you the name was? Who was the hot name?
It was Charles Huff. It was Charles Huff. But you got...
Was anybody talking about Mully coming back? Maybe.
Part of that is because we've seen the Dan Mullen experience at the Power Four level. Like, he's old hat.
Yeah, but he's coming back.
And he probably will. I mean, the UNLV has the funds to pay him for a third year, right, Brad? Okay. I know that was a, there was some dispute about that at the beginning, that they did not have the funds to cover the third year, that they had hoped he'd be two and done. But maybe they've rallied the troops now that there's been so much success for UNLV. They can get the funding.
Well, he doesn't need to just come back to some low-rung SEC job either.
I mean, no.
If they've made it cush for him out there, he can wait.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. It's not so desperate that you just have to get anywhere back in the power structure.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Maybe that Maryland job. Big Ten's better than the SEC.
Maryland job.
I mean, that sounds like a horrible job, though. Like, that's a dead-end Big Ten job.
It's about to open, though, isn't it?
It is going to open.
He's on yeah, skates.
Last legs.
See, like, you know, like, Maryland football, what is that?
It's hard,
John's
bro.
John's got a good point there.
It's hard.
Like, Maryland football is a nothing.
But this is one of the things that Mullen likes to do. He likes to take these hedge programs like Mississippi State. I mean, he did pretty well at Florida, too, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, UNLV was nothing beforehand, too, right?
Yeah, another hedge program. He just kept that thing floating. So, I mean, they won't have high expectations.
Nothing and turning it into something, then you get a little bit more credit for that.
It's like Deion, you're on the floor, get him off the floor, and then you're a hero. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit.
No, I mean, it is a job that's going to open.
I mean, what he's done at Mississippi State and UNLV, the two places that you just raised it up a level.
Please get us off the floor and we'll be grateful.
Yeah.
And then
I guess didn't get it done to the level of expectation in Florida over the long haul.
Maryland's not on the floor. Maryland is in hell.
Yeah, they are in hell, bro.
Well, like where Colorado was. I mean, that's bottom of college football is what they called Colorado before
we
took it over.
That's fair. And, you know, Deion knew he was bringing his son. So,
he had weapons.
That probably went into, hey, I know this place sucks, but I'm about to bring Shadur.
Yeah, maybe Maryland's one of the ones you let pass.
I would definitely.
Just because we don't know if they're going to invest in you.
Yeah, it's fair.
And invest in you what you need.
You know, Baylor might come open. I mean, I don't know if.
Wisconsin?
Can you go from. Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin. Can you
talked about Fickell. He's done. He's done.
Yeah, yeah. You probably don't go from UNLV to Baylor.
No.
Based on just the spirituality element, but. yeah, Wisconsin makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I would definitely go after Dan Mullen. Isn't he
not a return to Mississippi State? Right, we rule that out.
No, we have definitely not ruled that out.
I'm just saying
that would make me
nobody's writing
elated.
That, right?
But
because they're about to have an opening.
Yes. If I had to predict it, I would say yes.
Yes.
Like I don't want to say
back?
I really dislike that coach. I really dislike him as a head coach.
He wouldn't go back to Stark Vegas, would he?
Yes, I think he might.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Totally does. Yeah, you just get them back going.
Yeah, why not?
And you're in the SEC. You can have some fun with that.
They left on good terms. He took the Florida job.
Hell yeah.
I mean.
Mississippi State fans would be pumped.
I actually could see that one.
I do too. I think that's better than all the other
options. Because who could Mississippi State hire that would be better?
That's right. And you could pay him $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, I don't want to negotiate.
Yeah. He's like making, I think, three and a half now.
But
him to six.
What's Lebby getting?
Probably too much, whatever it is. I haven't even looked.
Yeah, I mean he's getting 4.3.
This guy closes like a snail.
So you get Dan Mullen out there for $5 million back home.
Get him excited.
I mean
bring players over from Vegas.
It's a homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean
all the people would love it.
Yeah, I think it actually makes a ton of sense for a return there. But I don't know how what's the wife want,
They like it there. I know that. I think they're living in Summerlin. Like, they're living high on a hog, man.
But you know what? I mean, it's not that different. Las Vegas, Stark Vegas, right? Same thing, right? From Las Vegas to Stark Vegas, back home.
Oh, boy.
I could sell that one real easy.
But, I mean, he would really, truly be your coach if he's just going to your couple of schools that you support.
My wife's alma mater,
like
my alma mater.
Wife's yours.
Yeah.
That point you.
I, I have become, hitting 50, you become a quality of life person, you know, and it's like, I just think that you could stay in Vegas. I mean,
but you know, it also could be, he absolutely could stay in Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, just be a hero all the time.
That's what your man Coldfield was saying. He looks like he's doing. Recruiting all these freshmen and everything else, he's building it for the long haul.
Yeah, because, you know,
maybe stay a few years.
The reality of the situation is you're almost in a better position to be super successful at UNLV than you are at Mississippi State. Now, you're going to make more money at Mississippi State.
Yep.
Which, if he's motivated by the money, which on some level we all are, like he would just go back to Mississippi State. But, you know, if it's a situation where it's like, hey, like let's say he just smacks Memphis up next Saturday, which, you know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I
really don't.
I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
I'm excited
to see.
I think Charles is not capping.
We have no idea. We may suffer well next weekend. We have no clue. So let's say he smacks Memphis up, and then he takes care of the rest of the schedule.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's going to have a hard time. New Mexico's really good.
I'm on my perch, you know, in the Mountain West. I don't have to worry about Boise. I just handle my business. I play Memphis, you know, next year there. That's another opportunity for me to make a stamp in my non-conference. Mm. He could just say, I'll just kick it here. I'll get a raise from you guys, assuming you guys are liquid. And then, you know, I'll kick it here at UNLV and retire here for the next 4 years. Or he could say, this is my last chance to get back to the Power Four.
Yeah.
And I'll go crush it somewhere else. But I think both angles are defensible.
Vegas is paying their coaches now. They just got their settlement from the Pac-12 and the buyout thing. That's what they were waiting for. It's about, I think it's $17 million. So they've got a couple more donors. So they got, by not moving, they kept the house paid off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, I kind of think what they're trying to do, what you just suggested, which is be solid where you're at and just wait on whatever could happen. And if not, we're cool.
You know? Yeah, we'll see.
Get your Roback ready. Y'all know what Roback is?
That's the
you've seen Jameis Winston.
That's the brand.
Mm-hmm. The brand. I really like that stuff. Memphis stuff.
It's really expensive.
It's very expensive, but it's really cool.
It's sharp as hell.
Like, it is sharp.
You gonna get you some?
It looks worth it. I want to get a Memphis hoodie, a Roback.
Get one of them $120 performance hoodies.
Yeah, wear it like Jameis. Some of those polo shirts are nice too.
Sharp.
The little imprints are those.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now.
They are really nice. It costs.
So,
but Jameis, I'm seeing all the Jameis commercials. They're everywhere, and this stuff looks good.
I think Ocall might sell.
So Roback, R-H-O, back.
You talking about the blue joint?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the blue joint's 142.
Yeah. Oh, they're all high. There's 150s, 140s.
The polo is 132.
Like, I can only get one. It's going to have to be like a birthday or a Christmas item.
Oh, yeah. Jameis is a spokesperson. Look at
that. Jameis, all the commercials are fantastic. Yeah.
I will say, though, this polo looks nice, though. I like this
joint. Every one of that I would wear, every single thing they have on there. Yes, the little imprints, and it's tiny on there. You have to get close to see what it is, but the way it's, dude, it makes it a great shirt. It's awesome. And the everything they've got on there is clean.
I think Gabe's got one of those with the, when you get close to it, it's got the pom poms.
You can see the pom poms
stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's got one of those.
Roback, R-H-O-back.com.
Oxbow might even sell
I think
that.
Oxbow, when you pull up Roback Memphis, Oxbow comes up.
Oxbow's got all those jokes.
That would make sense why Gabe has some.
Right, because doesn't he have an NIL deal with
Oxbow?
He's
got a deal with Oxbow.
Yeah.
My favorite store in town, by the way, Oxbow, number one.
Well, if they got Roback stuff, they got it going on now.
Yeah, they got everything in
this,
there.
I like the Jameis commercials. What's made me look into it and want to get some.
It's
Jameis is a successful influencer.
He is their he's doing commercials as like a brand sponsor for him, doing a fantastic job too.
Yeah, but it is definitely. I mean, you are paying Jameis's appearance fee.
I read that for what they're so smart to get him,
Yeah,
what he brings to the table in terms of that energy level and everything else.
Yeah,
and he really gives it everything he's got, bro. He brings his acting chops to it.
He does.
He's a fantastic spokesman, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
Never would have thought he'd graduate to what he's become with that. Yeah. Remember coming out of college?
He's fun. Like, you just think
a ton
fun.
Of fun, but now a ton of professional, too. He brings the professionalism.
Agree.
To it, whether it's as a backup quarterback or as a spokesman.
Yep.
He's fantastic, man. And he makes me want to buy some of this stuff.
Well, there's definitely some options. And, you know, don't forget, you know, CJ and Faith as well. So.
No, it'll only be for it because it's too expensive. I can only sometimes you got to do for you. You know, and I say that occasionally, and then never I go out here and I put everybody on my back again.
I say for gift
cards. Sometimes you got to do it for yourself.
Oxbow sells gift cards. Have them get you a gift card. Mm. Oxbow. Kind of float that out there. That's what Stacy got me for Father's Day.
Yeah. I like that Jameis has brought me into this family. So get out to Oxbow. And I'll get me a Gabe Kuhn Memphis Tigers Jameis Winston Roback.
Yep.
Okay.
They also sell those.
I'm in.
They sell the Ponchettinos, too, by the way.
Not going to get a Ponchettino. Not yet.
That's what I've rebranded it.
I'm saving all my stuff here. James has brought me into the
family.
Yeah,
I think if I was going to get one, I would probably do like the the blue one with the
it's really expensive. I'll say that's why I'm, I
yes,
can only
it
get
is.
One item.
The blue one with the like all the tiger heads is pretty nice.
It's really nice. You could dress that up. You could wear that to Sunday brunch with a belt. You could wear that to church. That shirt right
you could.
There. You could.
You absolutely could.
With
you know?
The belt and everything else, the white shoes.
It's
dress it up.
It's versatile. You could wear it to a football game. You could wear it to a basketball game.
Yeah. You looks like I mean? You could golf in the dang
you
thing.
Could absolutely golf in it.
You'd be excited to wear it, though. My case for it is it's expensive as hell, but you would get when you see it clean, you're like, it's got to be worn.
So it's got some spandex in it. Did y'all read that?
Yeah. You have to have the spandex.
That's what makes
polo.
It. Yeah, it's like.
It's going to be like a super nice fabric, right?
It's going to
feel
fit
good.
Well. It's going to fit
it's
well.
Not, it's not going to shrink when you wash it like a cotton polo might, you know?
You're getting what you pay for.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to really get some wears out of it. You know, you have to do the math on the wear on the you know.
Yeah, how am I get my goodies out of it?
Can I wear it 20 times?
Yeah, I'm gonna need to for what I'm paying.
Yeah, and
but,
I think for this
or,
one,
but
you
that'll
should.
Be over time. That'll be the rest of my life. Those 20 wears.
I mean,
you understand what I'm saying?
And I'm sure with Jameis, you know, it comes with a commitment, right? It's like this is a money back guarantee. If this ever fails on you,
for
you know,
sure,
I will be able
just
to
hit him up,
get you your money back or
I
replacement.
Believe it. If you write him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll respond and get your money back or get you a ton of new shirts.
All right, well, you got a week, man. You got a week to get one of these. So.
Well, really, I just need to get it before the first home game.
That's true.
Or the first game that I'm at. Yeah.
That's true. And would you say that September 5th is the most likely game this year?
Well, I can't wait now because you're rooting so hard against them with Brad. I can't wait till we knock off UNLV. So, I damn right, you come in there 1-0, I'm going to be there for Arkansas State at the Open.
Yes.
I'll meet you out there with the kids.
I'm not rooting against. I'm nervous.
You're so scared.
I'm
I don't understand why
nervous.
All this is stop.
I'm so nervous.
Jonah's saying you may have the best roster, not just in the American. I'm hoping it's in G6 with what you've spent.
We're going to find out. No doubt about it. On Saturday, next Saturday.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Let's find
about
out.
It. All right. When we come back, Jameis Winston on the other side. We'll talk to him about his endorsement. No, I'm just kidding. It'd be nice though. It'd be nice if we had Jameis Winston. He's busy. He's got
he's
a game
busy.
This weekend.
That's right. He's got to play too. I'm sure.
I'm sure he's starting. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Jackson Dart out there again after what happened against the Vikings.
No,
so
don't need to.
Anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Sammy P at 10 a.m. Stick around. J&J 90 FM, ESPN. All right, back, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN, got some news in college football. We already know where College Game Day is going to be in week 3. That would be Oxford, Mississippi. For the first time since November 2021, College Game Day is going back to Oxford. It'll be Lane Kiffin making his return to Oxford and, you know, potentially – it's not a top 10 matchup right now, I don't believe, but it could be by week 3. I think it's a top 15-ish matchup right now. It could be a top 10 matchup by the time we get there. Yes, no surprise, September 19th, the college football world will descend upon Oxford, Mississippi, and what an atmosphere that is going to be.
Yeah, I figure those signs will be pretty crazy that day,
the
creativity.
Yes.
The folks of the Grove, what they'll have to say about Lane, the way he did things there, you know, at the end. So, yeah, that'll be a fun weekend.
Yeah,
this one's pretty obvious.
It
so
is.
I suppose announcing it now makes
exactly,
sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you build up the anticipation because everybody probably knew.
Yes.
That week, this was the game. So why not go ahead and announce it?
Yeah, they got Clemson, LSU week 1, Ohio State, Texas week 2. LSU Ole Miss week 3. So that's what you're dealing with so far. And then, of course, week 4 will be UT Martin at Memphis.
Yeah.
As Memphis 3-0, looking for 4-0. Unfortunately.
Ryan was 6-0 last year?
Yeah. Yep. And then they lost UAB. Is that the one? Yeah. There will be no opportunities for Memphis to host game day this year, just looking at the schedule.
No opportunities? Well, no, because of not to host. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Every big game is seemingly on the road.
I mean, I guess the only one would be October 22nd against East Carolina.
ECU.
But you'd have to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have to be 7-0. And they would have to be 7-0, basically. I mean, they would have
to. And what date is that?
That would be October the 22nd. Okay. And they're not going to be 7-0 because they open with Alabama. So, I mean,
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a world if you were leading the G6. If it's a decent ECU team, they still come. But, like, I'm with you. That's pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's asking a lot of Memphis to be undefeated at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if
and we're not counting in what else is going on in the schedule that week. You know, that week.
Yeah, we're not even looking
in the Power Four. We haven't even looked yet.
Exactly. So yeah, it's always a long shot. Like if you got the Navy game on the 21st, if it was in Memphis or something, we could say there's a chance. But you got a better chance. Like if you're good, you got a better chance of. I mean, Halloween, but that's not a Saturday, or is it a Saturday this year? It might be a Saturday. I guess Halloween against Army is an opportunity. It is a Saturday, so it is possible that you get game day for Army Memphis on October 31st. But again, that would require you being 8-0, and that just is incredibly far fetched. And Army will be good. I mean, Army's going to be a team that wins games, and that's it's an opportunity with a military service to shine a spotlight on them, but. I mean, you're talking about all the things going right.
I'm looking at this correct. That's a Thursday game, that East Carolina game.
That sounds right, yeah.
Thursday, October 22nd.
Yeah, so it wouldn't even be possible.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
You also, that week, you have Ole Miss and Texas.
Right.
I mean, now who knows where Ole Miss will be at that point.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, Alabama. I mean, there's some matchups.
Yeah.
That's not happening, and I highly doubt the Navy one is, too.
Yeah. I believe the last I checked, Ole Miss and LSU, Ole Miss was – a 2-point favorite, 2.5-point favorite, over the Tigers there. So, I mean, it's already that number's been out for quite some time, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by both teams. I'm intrigued by what Pete Golding is going to do and how he's going to keep that that tradition up. Obviously, that Lane helped build, but it's going to be a lot easier when you have Trinidad Chandler's back. And then it's everything Lane ever wanted. You know, he wanted the job at LSU. He wanted the resources. He wanted the recruiting. He's got it. You know, brought in Sam Levitt from Arizona State. Mm-hmm. It's very intriguing on both sides. The game itself is, but, what each coach is going to do with their stop.
Yeah, I feel kind of silly because I think in both Trinidad's case and Dante Moore's case, I said both were making bad decisions and that they should pursue the NFL, like right now. Like, it made sense, I think, in Trinidad's case because we pointed to this draft and how thin it was on – QBs, and I get wanting to fight for another year and go back to Ole Miss and, sort of finish what you started, but you've got a chance now to capitalize on what was an unbelievable run through the SEC that you may not replicate this year, now that there's a little bit, there's a book out on you now. And then Dante Moore, same thing. Hey, man, you're going back to college, but you're going to get drafted right now. You could start the career now. Jets could draft you next year. But I'm saying this to say, while I argued against those decisions and thought they were, it's great. It's freaking great for college football.
Yep.
The position that Oregon is in now with Dante back, clearly. I mean, the position that, I can't wait to see Trinidad Chambliss this year and see if he can duplicate it. And frankly, I'm looking at Marcus Stokes and saying, hey, can you do what he did at Memphis, like the discussion we had yesterday? But my point is, it's great for college football that these guys have come back in both situations. Clearly, it makes college football better. It's more anticipation in terms of players coming back, and it's a different age. It certainly is. I'm still not sure. We'll see on Dante, because you can always get exposed. You can always still get hurt. But in the case of both, they've made the anticipation, the want to get back to college football, even greater. Mm-hmm. Going back. So a little selfishly arguing there that they should go. Still, it's led to can't wait to see them this year on the college football field. Both of them.
Yeah, up at ESPN.com, there is a little bit of a difference in this. Schlabach put together his power rankings today. He's got Ole Miss at 13. I think they're 9 in the AP, and he's got LSU at 10. He said Lane Kiffin inherits one of the most talented and expensive rosters in the FBS after moving jobs. Kiffin was able to retain defensive coordinator Blake Baker, who I believe might have interviewed for Memphis or was on the list, certainly. Who transferred LSU's unit into one of the SEC's best in 2025. They're counting on two transfers, Tefalen Green and Malik Blockton, and three freshmen to fill holes in the roster. And then, of course, with Ole Miss, it's all about bringing back Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy. I mean, that's about as good as you're going to do in college football, man. That offense is going to be legitimate. You know, got to replace the play call there of Charlie Weiss, and that's going to be you know, a challenge, but it'll be a lot easier. I mean, we saw a little bit of a taste. I mean, they competed. They won a game in the playoff. They won two games in the playoff, so I'm not mistaken. And then pushed Miami. So, I mean, I know they were kind of running on adrenaline a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see, like, after that wears off, how that will look. But, I mean, I thought the early returns of Pete Golding were pretty damn good, all things considered. And so we're going to see it in week three with College Game Day. That'll be a hell of a night in college football. So I don't know who I'll be on. I'll be interested to see, like, you know, what side I end up being on, because I'm sure I'll be on somebody. But
well, it won't be a tough pregame speech for Golding. I mean, that one sort of writes itself right there.
Yeah, he left
your guys getting fired up. Yeah,
you guys weren't good enough for him.
Too easy.
Yeah, it's
the easiest one you've ever done.
It really is. It's very rare you see these kinds of matchups, like the coach leaves and then plays the team the next year.
Well, I would say there's a lot on the line there too. I mean, there's less at stake for Kiffin, who can just play up, hey, it's my first year. But you come in there and you hand it to him, you hand it to Golding. I mean, that's, you can really make a statement there, and you can leave those Ole Miss fans obviously feeling a certain kind of way about the coach they were left with if you go in there and roll them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a lot to lose if you're a Golding there, losing to the guy. No, you feel like you owe him a lot, whatever else. So yep. You may, I'm sure he can't have personal feelings toward Kiffin. I mean, the position that you were in beforehand, you know, a lot of it due to him. But my point is, there's a lot to lose if Kiffin comes in there and rolls you at your spot now, what you've been handed off in terms of what those Ole Miss fans' belief level in you.
Yes, yeah.
In his first year.
Yeah, that's one, man. I wonder what tickets are for that game.
I'd almost rather, if I'm Golding, be going out on the road to play him this year.
Yeah, there's go. Yeah, no, it's
than having him come back.
Yep.
You know, this offensive genius come back, and it's still LSU. I'd realize it's his first year. Come back here and have this chance to do me in. You know, in my first year, full time on the job here.
The get in at Ticketmaster for that game is $600. And that is a get-in for a week three regular season game. I mean, I know it's an SEC game, but, I mean, that is crazy. Like, what's the Georgia price? I'm looking it up. The Georgia price is $277.
Mm-hmm. It tells you everything you need to know.
I mean, that thing is going to be crazy.
Party of the year.
Oh, my. What about Mississippi State? I wonder what those go for. Do you think those go for similar?
I say party. I mean, they're gonna be like bloodthirsty. Those rebel fans. The question is just gonna be, can you get the blood you want? I don't. You know, we'll see. You better be careful.
Yeah, the Egg Bowl is 124. So the LSU Lane Kiffin coming back to Ole Miss is going for five times higher than the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, there's no value in Mississippi State.
But it's the Egg Bowl.
Nobody cares.
It's one of the great.
I mean, they care, but like they care to $100. They don't care to a $700 level.
Yeah, Egg Bowl and the Protect College Sports Act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Lane Kiffin rule was.
That's true.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking like the get in is like you're in the back of the back. You know, like you can't see nothing. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy. But I get it.
Yeah.
It's the one. It's probably the college football game of the year.
Exactly.
Just because of who the coach is and the circumstances.
That's going to be a who's who, no doubt. All right, we'll come back. Sammy P is going to join us. We'll talk to him probably about this. We'll get his thoughts on some college football, on some NFL. Lots more to come. Stick around. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.